You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, Dr. Larissa Korda is an obstetrician, a gynecologist, and a best-selling author of The Conception Plan. She believes in a mind-body holistic approach to well-being and fertility, combining the best of modern cutting-edge science with the ancient wisdom of complementary practices, addressing the physical, mental, and spiritual dimensions of women's health. She regularly appears and advises in the media as an expert in women's health, fertility, and pregnancy, and is the resident fertility doctor on ITV's This Morning. We met at the Future Fertility Show in Dublin, and she was also back for the Endometriosis Ireland Congress. So she has much love and connection with her Irish audience too. And I'm delighted to say she joins me on the line now. Larissa, you're very welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And you're so right. I'm just in love with Ireland. So any excuse I get to come, literally, I'm there.
So when did your interest in women's health and fertility begin? When did you want that to be your chosen area of expertise?
So it started, I guess, quite a long time ago. Even when I was still at school, I remember picking up a copy of Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom by Dr. Christian Northrup. And that was a book that was really cutting edge, and it was written back in the late 80s by a female doctor from the States who was really revolutionizing a lot of the medical front. And I remember reading that book when I must have been about 13, and it just really, really resonated with me and spoke to me. Now, my mum is a gynecologist as well, and I, for that reason, as I'm sure many people who have doctors running in the family might relate to, I actually really resisted the urge to be a doctor because I saw how hard she worked and all the long hours and, you know, how much she invested of herself into that job. But, you know, some things are far more powerful than you. And I guess that instinct for wanting to become a doctor was seeded in me as a result of my mum and all she inspired me with. But also reading that book and realizing actually there was so much that I wanted to do to help women and women in particular, because my roots are former Yugoslavian. So as some of you might remember, back in the 90s, early 90s, former Yugoslavia went through a big war. And I just remember, you know, as a kid watching the consequences of that, in particular on many women and girls. And I really wanted to be able to do my part in the future to help. So I guess becoming a gynecologist really helped to unite so many of these different missions and passions together. And here I am.
And I think what's really interesting about you is this holistic approach that you have, this emotional, spiritual side. I mean, even on your website, I was looking through it ahead of our chat today, and you've got the white coat on, the stethoscope is around your neck, but then you've got a crystal in your hands. And that's not something you often see.
No, it's not, but I think it should be, right? I guess that sort of spiritual, more esoteric side of me, again, started probably fairly early on, you know, watching my grandma and my great aunt, who were, you know, these incredibly strong, independent, wonderful women. They were, you know, my biggest icons. And, you know, they were both very bohemian and incredibly laterally minded. So even growing up as a child, though I was raised in quite a scientific household, I was also raised through a lot of esoteric alternative artistic methods. So to me, it was very natural to combine these two worlds together. I never saw them as polar opposites. And then later on, so around 14 years ago, I went to work and live in Australia, you know, the land of the free and the alternative. And this is really where my kind of spiritual esoteric passion started, in that I really began to get a sense of how important so many of these other alternative or rather complementary techniques were. And I started to question why we weren't using them as doctors, why we were purely focusing on what we now call mainstream traditional medicine, whereas actually a lot of these techniques used to be the mainstream traditional medicine. So I decided I'd train in some of those techniques. And this took me down, you know, a really big rabbit hole of exploration and beginning to understand how to really merge and marry these two worlds together into what I've dubbed and called the scientifically spiritual approach, which to many people sounds like a paradox. But actually, I've always felt, and the more research I've done in this and the impact I've seen it have on my clients and patients, that these two worlds are absolutely inextricably linked. And, you know, without science, I don't think, you know, we'd understand spirituality, and the vice versa as well. You know, without spirituality, we can't really understand science. And if you look at some of the greatest scientists in the world, you know, Einstein, Tesla, these were people who were spiritualists. And, you know, they understood the bigger meaning behind life, and they questioned it, and they were curious, and they explored and researched.
And obviously the conversation is beginning to widen, and we talk a lot now about health, mind, body and soul. Yeah. And we talk about emotional health, and we talk about joy, connection, meaning and purpose, and how important these things are. But until the world is fully ready, I think the best placed person is somebody like yourself who has a foot in each camp, because it means it can't be ridiculed. But I love what you say. These things aren't polar opposites. They're complementary. Mm. How do they play a role when it comes to conception? Because this is a huge time in a person's life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think conception is, for me, that really unique interface between the spiritual world and the material world, right? So it's bringing something very intangible into human form. And for that reason, to me, you know, all of these methods, including the esoteric spiritual and then the mainstream medical ones, have a place in that. So where I've seen it help so many people is, in particular, where we have this diagnosis of unexplained infertility, which is over 30% of people. And this is where, when you do standard medical tests, apparently no cause is found. But you know, modern medicine isn't at the moment considering that our tests are very limited and they do nothing to examine some of the deeper roots and causes behind why someone's struggling to conceive. And the way I look at, you know, if someone comes to me and has problems conceiving, is I want to know exactly what's gone on in their life from the time of birth. I want to know all about their birth, what happened during that. I even want to know what's gone on for their mother and their father whilst the mother was pregnant with that person, because all of this is incredibly important. And we know, we have so much research at the moment to inform us and tell us that the epigenetic programming which takes place in the womb has massive health consequences for people later on in life, even as children and thereafter into adulthood, including reproductive consequences. So I want to examine all of these details. And then I also want to look at, you know, how you've experienced certain experiences. And this is all about how you've integrated stress and various different adversities in your life. Because again, we know that trauma has a huge impact on health. Again, there's copious evidence out there, so much research. I spoke a lot about this at the Endometriosis Congress. And you know what, Claire, the minute I opened that door onto talking about trauma and the fact that, you know, if you've had earlier childhood trauma of any level of significance, you have an 80% increased risk of having endometriosis. When I explained that to people, oh my goodness, the reaction in the room, it was just incredible. I think first and foremost, because so many women at that point felt incredibly validated and suddenly, you know, had that aha moment of understanding, oh my goodness, you know, that explains some of what I was feeling and experiencing when I was younger and where I might be now. So it's really, really important as a doctor to appreciate that someone's emotional and mental state has a really big impact when it comes to their physical health, because it's literally shaping and molding that entire biological landscape at the epigenetic level. So this is the level that sits above the genes, and it's having a really big impact and consequence in terms of certain conditions expressing, whether that's a disease or whether that's a struggle to become pregnant. And even more than that, the healing that I encourage people to then go through when I provide them with the tools and empower them to be able to do that themselves doesn't just have a positive impact on them, but also on any children that are born. because we know that, you know, if we've got any unresolved issues regarding our own health, any unresolved emotional and mental issues, our children stand to inherit that, which could later on in their lives express through disease or shortened fertile windows. So, you know, all of these things are interrelated. And, you know, again, when we talk about it, I think we spoke about this at the Future Fertility Show, the impact of doing this work is truly transgenerational, and impact stands to impact at least three further generations down the line. It could possibly be more, but so far research has discovered that it is three generations. So, you know, when we do this work, we're doing it not just for ourselves, but we're doing it for all of the future generations that are yet to come as well. So it's a huge investment, and one that I think is really, really worth focusing on, which is why I talk so much about preconception health and that lead up to becoming pregnant, because it influences the rest of your life, including menopausal health.
And you give lots of examples in your book of couples and individuals you've worked with. The book is The Conception Plan. Can you give the example of the couple you worked with on the show this morning, Catherine and Dan? Because I think it just sort of puts into practice your work.
Yeah, absolutely. So Catherine and Dan were the couple that I helped on this morning. And, you know, they were really incredible. They were very keen and passionate about having their own experience televised in order to help lots of other people. And, you know, what they had was 3 years of struggling to get pregnant. They couldn't get any help on the NHS because, as I'm sure you also have in Ireland, the limitations to getting any kind of help are really strict and severe. And they both had issues and problems. You know, Catherine had polycystic ovaries and had a high BMI. And, you know, Dan also had varicoceles, which can affect sperm counts. So they both had very real physical issues that lots of doctors would tell you have a very real impact when it comes to becoming pregnant. However, when they engaged in these pillars of the conception plan, you know, namely sorting out their nutrition, improving their exercise regimes, reducing their toxin exposure, and then really, really importantly, looking at how they were managing stress in terms of previous experiences that they were still assimilating and integrating, and then the relationship they were having with themselves and with one another. All of those things helped to bring about, in quite a short space of time, actually, baby Freddie, who was born almost exactly a year to the date of when we launched the applications. So it was a really, really wonderful moment for them. And, you know, I remember the first time I met baby Freddie, and it was literally like looking at an old soul. I just knew holding him, he was such an evolved baby. He'd been around for quite a long time and was waiting for his time to come. And I think that's a real incredible testament to the parents and what they did and the level of commitment they showed to, you know, adopting these methods and then undergoing that healing process themselves. So, you know, they're an incredible example of what is possible. But yes, I write about other cases in the book as well, including older age parenthood, you know, where lots of people think that, you know, because they're over 35 or even 40, that means they need to have IVF, and it really doesn't. You know, every case is different, and there is so much that we can do to help extend our fertile windows and to look after our eggs and sperm and, you know, increase our own longevity when it comes to the reproductive front. So yes, Catherine and Dan are a great example that everyone can actually watch, you know, on YouTube and have a look for themselves.
And Larissa, maybe you could take on the campaign to stop calling over the age of 35 a geriatric birth, because I don't think that does anyone any favours. Maybe you could just add that to your superhero mission that you're on. What of the couples or individuals who don't get pregnant, Larissa? How do you navigate your work in this area? Because you can't guarantee 100% success rate, no matter what they take on board.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I'm glad you've asked that question, because it's a really important one. And actually, you know, having a child isn't necessarily the end goal for lots of people who may start out with that. but actually through the process of their own evolution and as their own consciousness changes, they may come to either change their mind about that. Because actually having children is a lot more ambiguous for many people than we're led to believe. And there are lots of many complex interacting factors that affect that at the emotional and mental level, which is really, really interesting to unpack. But also, you know, it's to do with the level of healing that you're undergoing, which regardless of whether you end up having a biological child or not, stands to have really positive repercussions in your life, just in terms of benefiting your own health. And to be able to sort of what I do with people who, you know, may not reach that sort of goal as they set it out to be at the beginning, is, you know, that there's this whole reframing that takes place. There's a real change in narrative. And one of my patients that I can point to, you know, who went through this process and in the end decided that they actually didn't want to become parents at this point in time. But, you know, we had a really emotional conversation and you know, what they told me was that first and foremost, they learned to parent themselves, something they'd never done before. And they realized the true value of that. And they were able to really attend to their own wounding patterns and so many issues that, you know, they hadn't really had a chance to process and were manifesting at that physical level. So this, the work that you do engaging in these methods is worthwhile regardless of what that final outcome may be. And as I say, a lot of people sometimes actually change their mind about what that final end goal is and come to reframe it into something that much better fits their personal evolution and narrative. And that's really what I support people to do, to come into their most aligned selves in terms of being able to make that decision from a level of consciousness that they may not have had before.
And if you're going to embrace those pillars you touched on, your nutrition, your movement, your stress management, your relationships, regardless of the outcome, you're going to have a much more solid foundation to take on whatever the next chapter may be. I feel we've only scratched the surface. We're going to have you back, Larissa. Something that really jumped out at me is what you said about how we can get our health in order ahead of even considering conception. So maybe we'll have you back on that very topic. But people can find out more at theconceptionplan.com. There is a book, The Conception Plan, as well as the online course. And you'll find out all about Larissa and see her in her white coat with her amethyst crystal on her lap. Theconceptionplan.com. Dr. Larissa Korda, I'm so glad our paths crossed. Thank you so much for coming on.
Me too. Thank you so much, Claire. It's been such a pleasure.
So that's it for Alive and Kicking for this week. My thanks to my producer, Marisa O'Sullivan. Rory Galvin was on podcasts and Hugo De Silva Scott was on sound. And thanks to you for listening. I will see you next week.